Hey, we just showed this video, and we're talking Heart for the House, because last week I mentioned to you, I prepared you. I said, pray this last week, because this week, we actually have one of our amazing volunteers, Donna, came running down the hallway to me today, and she said, Pastor Evan, today it's Pay Off the Kitchen Sunday. Come on. And I want to ask you a question. We're about 85% of the way to paying off that kitchen. The total cost is going to come in around $350,000. With the matching that someone has offered to do today, we have about $300,000 today, this week. I'm praying and have been praying and believing that God can prompt our hearts, can cause us to be stirred for His purpose and His mission, so that we don't have to go into 2019 paying for 2018. Does anyone believe that God today could stir us, stir this people, stir this church, that we might see $50,000 come in? Anyone believe God can do it? Come on, you believe God can do that today? It's going to be louder clapping by the end. I really believe it today. For me, I'm locked in. I'm trusting God, and I'm believing that if we today would just listen to Him. If in this and the next service today would just say, God, we're here to listen. We want to hear what you have to say to us. That today our heart would spill over for this house that He has made, that He has started, that this church that He has planted in the Comox Valley, this project that He has started in our hearts and has allowed us to complete in all ways, and just looks incredible and amazing. And I just believe that God's going to do something special today. A few years back, I was in Crimea. And Crimea is this little place, sort of with an identity crisis between Russia and the Ukraine. And when I was in Crimea, we were on missions. We were connecting with some of our local church friends there. They are doing amazing ministry, Pastor Grisha, and they had churches all over the place. They had all these tiny little rural communities, and in all those places, they'd be planting pastors and communities and doing outreaches and taking care of the cities and all of this stuff. But their central location didn't have a building. They didn't have a space where they could all come together and meet. And there's a whole lot of reasons for that. One is that they're fairly young. In fact, all churches were fairly young there because they were coming out of communism, and it had only been a little while that they were allowed to actually have public spaces to meet. But when we were there, they still at that point weren't really allowed to use public spaces, public property specifically for the purpose of church. And so in that space, when we were there, the pastor that we were with, he had decided that he was going to buy a house and a property, and on his private property, he was going to build a church. Pretty amazing to be part of. That church was comprised primarily of people who had come out of recovery or were still coming out of recovery. It was a group of very hardened people. People whose past was communism, people whose past was challenging and difficult, many whose past was alcoholism and drug addiction, and here they were building this church, and they had this dream. They felt like God had planted on their heart that in that place they were going to not only sort of defy the odds of their government or their country or the expectation that people would put on recovering addicts to move anything forward, but they were going to defy all of those odds, and in that place, defy the odds of greed even and say, on my property, on the pastor's property, I'll put a house and I'll put a church. And so we were there and the church was just framed at that point. It had a roof on it, and that was that. And we were in there. We had the opportunity as a team to lay a floor, to start building a stage. And we did all this insulation, and it was pretty amazing to be part of. I remember being there thinking like, the faith that rises when people have to sacrifice this way, the faith that rises when people have to give themselves to build a church, and many of us say, oh, the church isn't a building, it doesn't matter, physical things don't matter, it just matters what's in your heart, it just matters what the movement is doing. But in that moment, I saw that couldn't be further from the truth. Because these guys were setting up something that the whole city was going to look on and say, those people's God must be alive. Because they can do that. we were building that thing, I thought, this, I wish North America needed to make some sacrifices like this. I wish back home we would have to push for some of these things. And doing this kitchen project made me realize that we there have been times when we had to push in big ways. And maybe sometimes we don't lately. We don't as hard lately. But it's exciting what happened when we started this church building. Because Calvin came in. I'm going to have Calvin. We're going to do an interview with Calvin next week. But Gary with Montera, Gary Renkema, who's part of our church, did a lot of the project and planning and sort of facilitating of what was going on around here. And Calvin's one of his key guys. So Calvin showed up into this church. And when he came in, he was almost brought to tears when I saw him. Calvin, I'm not going to say his exact age, partly because I'm not exactly sure, partly because I just won't do that. You can trust me. I won't do that to you. But he's somewhere in his 60s, I think, when he was 18 years old, he was here building this church with his dad. And when I started hearing about that story, it was inspiring to imagine what sacrifice we're sitting in right now. We are here because of someone's sacrifice. Calvin came in and he looked up at the beams that we had just uncovered from the false ceiling that we had put in. And he goes, whoa! Look at those beams. He starts telling me about the moment when he remembers seeing those beams go up. And they went up and they sat exposed to the weather for a year because they couldn't afford to put a roof on it. And those beams right over there, all along here, these beams have a story to tell of God's faithfulness, of God stirring people's heart to do something, to work for something. These beams tell a story of volunteer labor building a church. And Calvin was one of those. Calvin was a young man who was about to get married, to be building a house and to be moving things forward. He said, I put my own personal house on hold, and his dad's company put all of their business projects, all of their customer jobs on hold so they could all come and volunteer at the church. That's pretty huge. He said those beams went up and then we ran out of money. We couldn't get money. We couldn't accomplish it. Some of the story of how this church came into existence is amazing, where there was this creative ideas of selling a bunch of properties around here, and Ross and Ruth Fox were a huge part of that. And they got to this place where they had created the framework for this building. And then they said, well, how are we gonna finish this? And they couldn't sell a couple more properties to do it, even though they had the properties. And so they stopped this job and they built houses on those properties. And so he said, well, we went, and some of our neighbors are living in houses right now that were bought to pay for this church. And so while those beams laid exposed, Calvin said they went and built spec homes on the properties that they had. And they sold those houses. Once they sold those houses, they came back and finished the church. Isn't that awesome? And so there they are building this thing as volunteers, accomplishing incredible things, pouring their investment into this thing, pouring their time into this thing, giving up work for this thing, giving up in many ways for this house, for this church to exist here, for this place to stand here and tell the city that Jesus is alive, that he's doing something, that he's moving, that God is still here. Are you excited about that? Is it good that somewhere along the way people decided to sacrifice to build this place? To make this place available for us so that we could be sitting here today? We're sitting in chairs. I've heard stories about these chairs being bought. That these chairs were all sponsored by individual people, and it was, let's buy the chairs for this building. I mean, these chairs are pretty comfy down here anyways. Up there, we're still working on it. But these were all people's investment. These are all people's sacrifice. People poured into this church so that we could meet here, so that we could have this house to proclaim the goodness of God to this city. We're sitting in other people's sacrifice when we're sitting in this church. We're sitting in other people's efforts, other people's blood, sweat, and tears, other people's faith to believe in God's promises. See, God always gives promises. God doesn't only have promises in the past. Do you believe that? God's got promises for the future, right? You know, lots of times we think about God's promises and we think about all the things he promised to the people in the Bible and all the times that he promised something to us in the past. And sometimes we forget that God's got promises for us for the future, right? So I listened to a great sermon that Pastor Rob pointed me to from Stephen Furtick. And he talks about this idea of promises. He says, God always gives promises, but people have to listen to his promptings. Isn't it true that God's promises alone don't accomplish God's promises? God says, I will do this, but you will do this. I am going to accomplish something great, but here's where you fit. Here's where you're called to it. I believe God's got promises for this church. Looking back at 2018, what year are we in again? Anyone? No? 2018, I'm excited about where we're at. I'm excited about what's happened. You know, I still am excited about the service where we baptized 23 people. People are coming to know Jesus here. People are coming to know the one that we've said has changed our lives, the one that we've said is changing this city, the one that we believe is changing this island. People are still coming to know him, coming to recognize him, sacrificing some of who they are. In fact, there was a guy in that baptism tank who had to sacrifice some of his family ties as they said, you can't get baptized and be part of this family. Imagine the sacrifice that it takes to move things forward for God. But I believe that God gives promises. Then he gives promptings. We have to follow those promptings. And then after those promptings, we start to see his provision. Does anyone want to see God's provision? You want to see what God can do in this church? You want to see what God can do in the Comox Valley? I want to see it. I want to see what God's greatest is for here. I want to see what his movement is for here. But we need to follow his promptings to see his provision. We're going to look through the story of one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. One of my favorite characters, Joshua. Joshua is a guy who followed a guy named Moses. Moses led the Israelites for a long time, and he led them out of Egypt. He led them into the desert, and ahead of them, always, all along the way, was the what? Promised land. They were always looking towards the promise. Always heading towards what God had said was in front of them. Always heading towards what God had said he'll give to them. And for sure, he would have given it to them. But Moses didn't get there. Because when God was saying, Moses, you're going to go, and all you have to do is follow me, and I've got a promise for you. All you have to do is follow my prompts for your life, is follow the things that I put in front of you, is follow the action steps that I give to you. All you have to do is follow those things. When God was saying that to Moses, Moses was good up until a point, and then he stopped following God's prompts. At that point, Moses lost the promise, but the promise was still strong. God still had a promise, and he gave it to Joshua. So Joshua, then I want it to be yours. Because the generation that follows the prompts will receive the promise. How we follow the prompts of God will determine how we receive the promises of God. How we see the provision of God. And so Joshua shows up and God says, Joshua, will you go into the promised land? And so there's a story in the early stages of Joshua where you hear about God saying to Joshua, Joshua, get the Israelites ready because tomorrow I'm going to do something amazing in your midst. I'm going to do something incredible in your midst. Tomorrow it's going to happen. Tomorrow the promise is coming to you. Tomorrow the promise is going to show up at your door and you're going to get to receive it and you're going to go and get and take it. And so get yourself ready, Joshua. So Joshua goes ahead and starts getting himself ready. They start praying and start getting prepped for this thing to happen. Because God's got a promise. You know, I'm so glad that God compels us with promises. I was saying to Kendall earlier this week, as I was preparing for this Sunday and this message, I've never done a Sunday like this. I've never done a Sunday where I was going to believe for and ask the church to give in significant ways, to stretch themselves and give in significant ways so that God might be glorified as we invest in what he's doing, as we follow his prompts and get led into his provision for our church. I've never done something like this. And as I was talking it through with Kendall and we were praying, I was like, Kendall, I'm not a salesman. And that's very true. I actually worked this one job one time. My cousin had me working for him, and I was filling paint chips in cars, and I'd drive up to Nanaimo to do it all the time, and I was just like, it just isn't my world. It just wasn't my world, and part of that job was doing the job, and part of it was selling the job. And so I remember this one guy came out to me one day, and I was sort of fixing up their car, and it was looking pretty awesome. He came out, and he goes, Evan, Can you just tell me, like what makes you better than sort of the other guys that I could choose? And I was like, we're all pretty good. We're all pretty fine. He goes, well, what would make you, like, why couldn't I just do your job? Like, what would me, why couldn't I just ask one of our guys to go and do some of what you're doing? Would that, would it matter? Like, what do you do that's better? I'm like, well, I mean, there's a few pieces that kind of maybe make it sort of shine a bit more when I do it, but yeah, I mean, if that works for you, go ahead, do it. Like, and he goes, okay, well, then we don't need you anymore. Like, no problem. I hope it works out. Like, and away I went. And my cousin was like, what in the world, Ev? Like, that's one of our biggest customers. I'm terrible at sales. I'm terrible at selling something that I sort of think you might want or trying to convince you of something. And I'm so glad that God's also terrible at sales. God doesn't try to sell you on something. He's not trying to give you something and make it look good. And if you'll just buy this thing and just pay this amount, then maybe I will do this and maybe I'll accomplish this in your life. God's not like, oh, I sure hope I get their money or I sure need them to do this. And one of the things that we need to recognize on a day like this is that God's not sitting here saying, I sure need everything that they have. He's sitting here saying, they sure need everything I have. I have something to pour out into their lives. I have something to pour out into this church. I have provision to bring to Northgate. I have provision to bring to the individuals in Northgate. I have provision to bring into the Comox Valley. And I want to pour out my blessings. And I'm not trying to get them to give me money so that I can have money to do a project. I'm trying to get them to give me their hearts, which are often attached to their money, so that I can give them every blessing and provision that they won't have until they follow the promptings that lead to my promise. Promise. God isn't about selling, he's about compelling. He's not about just telling, he's about compelling our hearts. How? With a promise. And do you hear God's promise for you? You start to hear what the picture he's painting of your future, the dreams he's placing in your life. This 2019, are you asking God, Lord, what are you going to accomplish in my life? What are we going to do as this church? How are you going to move this year? Are you seeing his promises before you? As for me, I feel like this church is living in a promise right now. We're moving towards everything that God wants to do. And I feel like we have these promises ahead of us that we keep pursuing and keep chasing after. One of those promises for me is that God wanted to build this kitchen so that we could bless this city. He's promised it to us. It's ours to take hold of. It's ours to finish. It's ours to accomplish because he promised it to us. First, it starts with the promise, then it moves to the prompting. See, Moses missed the way when he was supposed to be prompted, where he was being prompted to follow God. He decided not to. And God shows up again to Joshua and says, Joshua, consecrate your people because tomorrow you get the promise. Tomorrow you're going to see what has not been seen before. Tomorrow you get it, but here's what you have to do. You have to walk to the water's edge and step into the water. Well, how about you just do it, God? I think often that's how we act with God. How about you just do that, God? Is it that significant anyways? I'll do the battles. You know, I'll do the big wars. I'll do all the big stuff. But maybe let's not have me stop the river. Let's not have me step into the river. Why don't you just do that part? I'll do what I can do. You do what you can do. And God say, no, I want you to do this. God's promptings for us most often require faith. Say, I'll just do stuff that makes sense. You'll probably not do everything God asks you to do. I'll just do the things that God that I feel good about, that feel right to me, that feel smart to me. You'll probably miss out on something that God's asked you to do. God's prompts usually stretch us. They usually put us outside of our comfort zone. They usually call us to places that we haven't been yet. They usually call us to places that we're not sure if we can get. They usually require more of our gifting than we've ever used. More of they stretch us outside of our finances than we've ever given. They call us to be more generous than we've ever known to be. They call us to be more faith-filled than we've ever experienced before. His promptings weren't just once and then we do it and then we're we're done. But he has a prompting for you right now. There's not a person in this room who doesn't have a promise in front of them and a prompting if they would listen. One of the best things you could do with your life is say, God, I want to learn how to listen to your promptings. And then I want to follow. Would you just show me how to listen and follow? Show me how to listen and follow. Because then it says that the person in this room who can give $50,000 is no more obedient than the person in this room who's prompted to give five and it stretches them. Both of those people are as faithful to God. If God asked them for 50, you better give 50. If God asked you for five, you better give five. Anything short of it, you missed the prompting. God says, I have a promise. But will you just follow me to it? So Joshua says, okay, we're going to follow the prompting. Then comes the provision. For Joshua, God stops the Jordan River. That's pretty cool. If you don't know the story, you need to go read it in Joshua 1, 2, and 3. And we're going to go into 4 in a second. God stops the Jordan River for them. And now in Joshua 4, I want to talk to you about what God asked them to do after that. God asked them to now promote this. Promote's not the best word, but it's a PR word, and the other ones were PR words, so it just feels good. Promise, prompting, provision, promotion. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, a man. And command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly. I like that. I like that moment that he says, that God's going to say to them, hey, right where the priest stood firmly. Why is it so shocking that they stood firmly? Because they were standing in the middle of what used to be an active river 1 hour ago. Here they are standing firmly on the ground. See, Joshua says, or God's saying, I want them to remember the time that when they should have been swept down the river, they were standing firmly. That when they should have been sinking, they're standing firmly. That when they should have been lost in this, they're standing firmly. If God has ever done a miracle in your life, and I think he has, where you were standing firm when you should have been falling all over the place, when you had peace, when you should have been in turmoil, when you felt like you had provision, when you should have been losing everything, when you felt like you had healing, when you should have been sick. If God's ever done something when you stood firmly, when you should have been swept out to sea, Joshua and God are saying, we can't just let that happen and not tell anyone. Because God wants to do new promises in your life. Sometimes the new promises for the new generation require us to offer some promotion of God's glory and how he moved in the past. Their feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in a place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua says, we need 12 stones. Grab them. I think they're probably pretty big stones myself. In fact, I think in the midst of this massive wilderness that they're saying that this is going to stand forever means these must have been some fairly significant stones on some fairly significant people's shoulders. Then Joshua called the 12 from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. Here's why. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Why does God want us to build a memorial? Why does God want us to build something physical in that space where something spiritual took place? Why does God want us to set up something that will be a physical reminder of this miraculous work that he did? Because God knows that we don't remember for very long. God knows that there's a generation that's coming that needs to find faith for themselves. God knows that just because there were people that once built this building and had to wait a year and had to build new houses and create more income so that they could finish off the building, God knows that if we don't tell that story, that people people are going to forget it, and people will lose faith, and people will forget that God was faithful then, and so they'll question if he's faithful now. God knows that we need to tell the story of where we've been if God's going to do something new with the generation for where they're going. Because there's people behind that are coming up and saying, hey, what's God all about? And we've got stories. We've got stones to tell them. We've got a kitchen. I can't wait to tell the story. People say, so what's so special about this kitchen? Well, I'll tell you what's so special. One person, did you know one couple gave $75,000 to this kitchen? $75,000. Here you go. Here's a check. Do the kitchen. Someone else gave $50,000 to this kitchen. Do you know that this kitchen, the budget for this kitchen is more than half of our 2016 entire annual budget? This kitchen reminds us that God is doing something here now. How do we tell that story? They didn't go back there. Israel didn't go back to that place. Because here's what it says in Judges 2:10, the very next book of the Bible. It's talking about one generation later. It says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. One generation later, they knew nothing of the Lord. Like the Lord stopped the Jordan River, knew nothing of it. The Lord, he set them free from Egypt, they knew nothing of it. The Lord, he gave them a promise. They knew nothing of it. This follows up and says, so they served all the other gods and served every other thing. Because if we stop talking about what God has done, if we don't build something that we can tell the story about, if we don't set up the stones and then talk about the stones and promote what God has done, share what God has done, celebrate what God has done with one another, if we don't recognize that when we give to God, he gives back more plentifully, if we don't recognize that when we offer ourselves to God, he's offered us so much more. If we don't recognize that when we follow his promptings all the way to his provision, that he'll give us new promises and new dreams and greater things. If we don't recognize that, if we don't celebrate that, the next generation forgets. How do we inspire the next generation? We live an inspired life right now, follow his promptings right now, and then promote God's provision that he gave us. Do you believe God's going to provide today? Come on, do you believe God's going to provide today? Because I don't think we're living in a time right now that we've forgotten. I believe that our story gets to be 30 years from now that Northgate gathered around and met together and something broke in that day, December 30th, 2018. Something changed. Something shifted. Something moved. And then the kitchen becomes more than a kitchen. It becomes the moment that God started breaking through in this church and in the Comox Valley. And I believe for it. Worship team, you can come and join me. I want to share just a couple stones from within our own community. Stones of moments where people followed promptings and saw God's provision. I've heard lots of stories. When I came to this church, I heard lots of stories of people who've walked in God's provision in an amazing way. I've known a pastor within this church who he and his wife decided to instead of purchasing their house, they gave away all the money that was supposed to go into the house. They gave it all away. God prompted them to give it all away. They gave it all away and saw God provide in ways that they had never known before. Saw it come back tenfold to them after that. I've known a builder in this church. And that builder had built a number of houses but couldn't finish any of them because the money had run out and was unable to accomplish them because he couldn't sell the previous houses, the finished houses, so couldn't move forward. So he prayed and the prompting was, go on a missions trip. He took his family on a missions trip. When they were gone, the houses sold. He came back and all of a sudden he got to move forward with everything. I've heard stories of a missionary couple who got saved and then went on 9 years of missions. Gave up everything. Gave up everything that they had. They went away and they came back and had next to nothing. Actually described themselves as having a couple suitcases. Now God has provided for them in incredible ways. They've been able to bless the church in amazing, special ways because God brought them back and said, if you want to give up everything for me, then when you return, when I call you home, when I prompt you to come home, I'm going to provide for you. So God's economy is better than ours. God does greater things than we can do. Think, well, I don't know if I can give as much as the next person. God's not asking you to give as much as the next person, but he might also be asking you to give way more than the next person. But he's saying, will you follow my prompting? So I've got something for you. I've heard a story within this church of a man who owned a mill and was asked to give a big donation, a big amount of woods to a particular project. He didn't have it, wasn't sure how to do it. Things were tight. He was praying, but he said, well, I'll give you some. And then he felt a prompting. No, you're not going to give them some. You're going to give them all of it. He said, I don't know how I can do that, but okay. He gave them all of it. Before he even got back to his office, he had a phone call for an order bigger than he had seen in years. God says, you trust me in this moment. You give to me in this moment. You follow my promptings in this moment and watch my provision show up for you. I've heard of a pastor recently decided to take a significant pay cut to get involved in this church, get involved with us, get involved with what was going on here because he and his family felt a prompting. Not a couple months later, he received a check for $5,000 in the mail. Come on, you think God's not going to take care of us? Think God's not going to look after us? You think God's not calling us to stretch ourselves, calling us to believe for something? God's calling us to believe for this, and not because he needs us, but because we need him. And if we won't follow his promptings, then we're saying that we need us more than we need him. And as a church, we need to be in a place where we say, God, we can't move forward without your provision for this place. I don't want to be in a place as a church where we're slowly moving forward at a pace that seems normal and manageable and good and our budget's lining up and the numbers are all working out. I want to be in a place where we're looking and saying, now what in the world is happening with all of the people that are coming to Jesus and all of the money that seems to be coming in, all the projects we can take part in, all the missions that we can back. How is this happening? And we'll say, I don't know, we were faithful with the promptings that God gave us, with the little things that God gave us that became big things. Today you might say, my prompting is actually for a fairly small amount. A small amount right now might turn into a big amount down the road. Because God says, if you're faithful now with the little, then down the road, I'll give you something a bit bigger. And if you can learn to be faithful now with the little that you have, watch how he's going to blow the top off of what you can believe for. See, your step of faith right now accomplishes more than you can ever know right down the road. I want to remind you of a church only just over 2 years ago. This church, I stood here, I remember standing here on a Sunday. It was absolutely pouring rain outside and inside. And I was driving home one night. I said, God, I'm so frustrated. The church is growing. We're seeing people come to know Jesus. We're seeing baptisms happen, but we're not seeing any financial provision. God, where are you? We've got a leaky building. Is this what you have for your people? Is this what you've got for your church? Is this how we tell people God is alive? Yeah, he can't take care of his building, but I'm sure he can take care of you. Like, God, what is the deal with that? And I felt like God said, many of you have heard this. I felt like God said, Evan, I want to bless that church, but I want to do it with 12 baskets rather than 2 fish and 5 loaves. And what he was saying in that time, saying, I want you to give me what you have. Stop trying to figure out how to make what you have work for you. Give me what you have, and then you're going to not even know what to do with all that I give to you. It was at that time where I recognized that we couldn't afford to do anything to take care of this building. We also couldn't afford to do anything to help people with missions. And we had to decide between the two. Maybe you were here at that time. At that point, we picked up two new missions partners. We said, God will take care of our building, but it's once we invest in His mission with what we do have. And so we invested our little. We started two new partnerships at that time, in the local partnerships, or one was global, two were local. We've increased those partnerships since then. And since then, we've given $24,000 to church planting regionally. We've totally shifted in these last 2 years. And at that point, we were thinking, how are we going to do anything for the building? Now we're standing here looking at, we just finished a $350,000 project on this building. We just painted this building last year. We just fixed all the leaks last year of all this tin all over the place. We continue to do more for this building. We got this whole interior painted this year, and we had it all done on volunteer hours. God is going to take care of this, and we'll be faithful with His prompts. So God has called us to be faithful to Him. He's compelled us with His promise, and then He's put prompting in our heart. And I don't know what yours is, but I want you to take a second now and consider that. Maybe you've been thinking about it all week. Maybe as you're in this place and meeting with the Holy Spirit, maybe it's changing for you right now. You notice we didn't take an offering earlier in the service. We're about to. Because I believe God is going to do this kitchen. He's going to finish this thing. We're going to celebrate next week what God has done and how He's accomplished this project. And so today, I want you to take just a moment. What is God asking of you? You may get a number that seems way too big. Can you trust Him? Can you believe in His promise and His provision? You may get a number that you feel like is pretty small, insignificant. Can you trust Him? Can you trust that you giving that amount is a step of faith that 5 years from now you might be the one saying it's too big and I'm giving way too much because God's provided like crazy since that time. There's going to be more projects because there's more promises. There's going to be more promises because God speaks generationally and He says, leave these rocks here because I'm not done with Israel and I'm not done with Northgate. You come back and keep returning to the promise. In fact, next time throw another rock on there. Next time put another promise. Next time let me remind everyone about that prompting that turned into provision again. Let's build this thing up. Let's continue to shape this thing so that every generation can come back and say, that is God. That's what He's doing. He did the Jordan River, but then He did this battle and then He overcame that way, and all through history we can write it, and into Northgate we can say that even though the building had to sit for a year unfinished, we built those houses and those houses sold, and all of a sudden we could finish this. And even though a church that was in debt and couldn't figure out how to move forward with taking care of the building, now we're talking about finishing a $350,000 project today. Put another rock on. God promised. Then He prompted. Now we've seen Him provide. Let's promote it to one another. So, take a moment right now. Ushers, I'll invite you forward. There's a few ways to give. You can give online if you like. Can we get that giving slide up, Ev? You can give online if you like. You can give by a check today if you want it. Cash. Today what is given is going to finish off that project, and we're going to celebrate God's great work. So I just want to pray for you. Maybe today God's saying, will you show me the shape of your heart by giving me the shape of your hands like this? Because God's going to say, hey, with your open hands, your open hands allow you to give, but your open hands also allow me to give to you. This is a sign that I'm not holding anything from you, God, but it's also a sign saying, would you hold nothing from me? I'm ready to receive. God, thank you that you have a promise for every individual in this room. Thank you that you have dreams for every person in this room. Thank you that you have vision for this church. You've laid it before us. And also thank you, Lord, that today you're putting promptings on our heart. And whether or not your promises get fulfilled in this generation or the next will be determined by our willingness to follow the promptings. Help us today, Lord. Help us to follow what you've given to us. Help us to be faithful exactly how you've asked us to be faithful. God, shape us, stretch us, pull on us, so you know exactly what is needed that would cause our hearts to be yours, our dependency on you. We turn to you now. Thank you for leading us. We're believing for your provision. Jesus, we love you. Love you. Amen. All right, these ushers are going to hand out these bags. We're going to sing How Great Is Our God. Let's believe for it. Follow his promptings. Go ahead, follow his promptings, however you might do that today. Allow him to lead you today. God's got more promises. Let's finish this one off. Let's get through this promise and see his provision here and celebrate his provision here and tell the next generation that our God is still alive and he's great and he's powerful and he's mighty and that he would give us more promises. He's got more hope. He's got more dreams. He's got more purpose for where we're going. Let's believe for it together.